plane, once again at the expense of the rest of us. I do not understand this policy at all. Why should people board early simply because they have children? What's so special about having kids? After all, a lot of kids are accidents. Many people wind up with children simply because they're unlucky. Is that something we should be rewarding? I don't think being careless in bed should qualify someone for special treatment on an airplane. And by the way, as with the devious methods of the cane and crutch crowd mentioned earlier, I think there are some couples who bring their kids along on a trip solely for the purpose of early boarding. What other reason would you have for including kids on a trip? Enjoyment? Hardly. In fact, and this may seem extreme to some, it's my conviction that there are some couples who have intentionally gotten married and had families specifically for the purpose of getting on the plane early. I know it sounds unlikely to you, but don't forget, these are cold, pragmatic, striving, yuppie boomers, unsentimental people who largely regard children as props and commodities anyway. Honey, let's have a kid so we can board planes early. Great idea, Scott. You start making a list of preschools and I'll get the lubricating jelly. Believe me, it happens more than you may think. So during this pre-flight, pre-boarding fiasco, after the crippled and the maimed have been safely strapped in, the airline people tell us they will now pre-board passengers traveling with small children. Well, that's fine as far as it goes, but what about passengers traveling with large children? Suppose you have a 6-month-old son with a growth hormone disorder, one of those 7-foot infants with oversized heads that you see in the National Enquirer. Actually, with a kid like that, I think you'd be better off checking him in at the curb, don't you? He'd probably enjoy it in the luggage compartment. It's dark in there. I would imagine he's used to that. But I digress. Forgive me for indulging my weakness for flights of colorful narration. Back to the real problem, people with children on airplanes. Here's how you solve this. You make the following announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a pre-boarding announcement only. We would like to address those of you who, both today and in your lives generally, find yourself burdened with needy and annoying children. We sympathize with you, but as long as you've decided to drag them along with you to Pittsburgh, we wish to minimize the inconvenience of their presence to the rest of us. Here is what is going to happen. First of all, you're getting on last, if there's room. Before that, we're going to board the full-grown humans and allow them to settle in, get comfortable, and have a drink or two. You may be standing out here for an hour or more. Then, you and your children will be swiftly escorted onto the aircraft and placed in a special soundproof walled-off area in the rear of the plane. There will be standing room only. For safety purposes, you will be tethered to one another and secured to the wall with leashes and straps. More than likely, there will not be any food left for you, but your children will be allowed to scavenge the trays of those passengers who did not finish their meals. Aside from that food service, you will be left alone and expected to keep the children quiet. And now, we ask that you please gather your precious creatures around you, and when you hear the whistle, see to it that they move smartly and swiftly onto the plane, remaining quiet and avoiding any eye contact with grown-ups. Thank you for flying the friendly skies of Sensible Airlines. I don't often talk about my own experiences. It's not my style. But I had a recent incident in traffic that I'd like to tell you about. And before I begin, there are a couple of things you ought to know about me. I drive kind of recklessly, I take a lot of chances, I never maintain my vehicles, and I don't believe in traffic laws. And so, because of these practices, I tend to have what a picky person would probably refer to as a lot of traffic accidents. And wouldn't you know, last week I ran over a sheep. Or possibly I ran over a small man wearing a sheepskin coat. I'm not sure, really, because I didn't stop. That's another rule of mine. I never stop when I have a traffic accident. Do you? No, you can't. Who has time? Not me. If I hit something or I run somebody over, I keep moving, especially if I've injured someone. I refuse to involve myself in other people's injuries. I'm not a doctor. I've had no medical training. I'm just another guy out driving around looking for a little fun, and I can't be stopping for everything. Let's be logical. If you stop at the scene of the accident, all you do is add to the confusion. These people you ran over have enough troubles of their own without you stopping and making things worse. They've just been involved in a major traffic accident. The last thing they need is for you to stop, get out of your car, go over to the wreckage, and start bothering them with stupid questions. Are you hurt? Well, of course they're hurt. Look at all the blood. You just hit them with a ton and a half of steel. Of course they're hurt. Leave these people alone. Haven't you done enough? For once in your life, do the decent thing. Don't get involved.